Welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast, your go-to source for information and insights that can help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital. And now, the host of the Hospital Finance Podcast, Michael Passanante.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante, and welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today, I am joined by Maria Miranda, who is the Director of Emerging Payment Models at Bessler. And I'm also joined by Christy Morris, who is the Director of Revenue Integrity Services at Bessler. And we are live here at HFMA's ANI 2017. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, we were chatting just before the podcast about the show so far and what we've seen in terms of both session content as well as overall themes. And I think one of the things that we noted is, of course, with healthcare, things are always changing, and you see themes like in the keynote sessions where they're talking about dealing with adversity and dealing with behavior change, and we see that coming out in the sessions, more particularly around, you know, transformative payment models and sort of the importance of running revenue cycle and thinking about revenue cycle a little bit differently, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this has been a sort of a whirlwind year as far as payment models go. Maria, we've seen the episode payment models. They're not gone.
Right.
They're here.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. They might change. They might not change.
We don't know.
So what, you know, from what you've seen here and your just general sense of what's going on out there, what is your feeling for how members of HFMA are looking at this?
Sure. So I've obviously concentrated on those types of sessions. And I guess everyone pretty much has the same ideas that this really isn't going anywhere and that hospitals are really on board. You know, even though, you know, we're waiting for CMS to give us some direction in terms of where those payment models go, I think hospitals just know that this is the right thing to do, and they're, regardless of what happens with CMS, they're going to continue along that path because, you know, what we have today is not sustainable, and I think everyone pretty much understands that, and we're just going to continue to see that going forward.
Yeah, I was in a session yesterday, and what was interesting is it was a CFO from a hospital in Vermont. They're talking about transformative payment models, mm-hmm. and what they're doing in that state, which, you know, they have sort of some idiosyncrasies in Vermont. One of them was a 3% cap on growth that they have to deal with at their hospitals, for profit or not for profit. Mm-hmm. And so as you're thinking about increasing your service mm-hmm. lines and trying to grow out their business, if you will, and deal with all of these new payment models, they have to deal with a growth cap too.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's not just CMS, you know, many of the managed care companies, the payers, are also trying to develop these payment models and work with hospitals. And many of the state programs, so the managed Medicaid, they're starting to roll these out, so hospitals really have to deal with this across the board. And, you know, Mike, one of the interesting things, I attended a session yesterday morning by Dr. Harlan Krumholtz, and he's a cardiologist. He was talking about how, even though data's been around a long time, it used to take hospitals and I guess physicians a very long time to act on it, and actually mm-hmm. took cardiologists over 20 years to actually start implementing some of the things that had been proven, you know, in 20 years ago in, mm-hmm. in studies. It took them that long, and it's not until you start tracking and you start looking at the trends that you really can't make those changes. You really need to start implementing those changes, and I think that's where we are today.
Real-time information.
Real-time, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And Christy, you know, I think, and I've had just sort of discussions over lunch with people who've worked in revenue cycle for a long time, and it's always been important, mm-hmm. but it's changing, and it's actually taking, if it wasn't in the front seat before,
it's taking the front seat over.
It's taking the front seat over, right? I mean, it's huge, right? I mean, it's not only just about getting the claims out the door now and trying to press payers to get their payments in, although that's part of it. Now you have to deal with patients too, and work with that end, right?
Right. And one thing that I found to be an interesting trend is being able to give the patient their upfront cost. A lot of the booths that I was able to visit today and yesterday really focused on the accuracy of the information that we're giving the patient, where I can say over the last 10 years that has really evolved, because before we would just give what we call the estimate, and it probably could be $500,000 off. It's like now it's down to the penny. You're using your historical data in order to get the most accurate estimate for that patient. One of the demos that I looked at, they were actually able to print the bill for the patient prior to them being discharged. We never would have thought about doing that, but you have to put it at the forefront because of the patient's high deductible, their co-pays. They need to be well informed of what their out-of-pocket expense is going to be. That helps them determine what their health care is going to be.
Yeah, there's no question. Transparency at that level is huge. And if you're going to try to create a competitive healthcare marketplace, you can't have it if the patients can't figure out how to utilize the services.
Right. But I think it goes beyond competitiveness. It all goes back to the idea of things being patient-centered. Mm-hmm. So if you want patients to be satisfied, they need to understand you need to remove that stress of not knowing what that bill is going to be, of not knowing what that cost out of pocket cost is going to be. So just focusing on the patient, whether it has to do with billing, whether it has to do with payment models, it really doesn't matter. The whole idea of transforming our industry is the fact that we need to put the patient at the center of everything we do.
And I think one of the things that have come true for the hospital setting is that patients have a choice. I know just within in my area where I live, there's 5 or 6 hospitals that I can choose to go to. So based on my previous experience with their system, that's going to help me determine if I'm going to go back there, or I can just go 5 minutes down the street to someone different. I mean, there are so many competitors out there, and the patient always has to be at the center of everything that you're doing.
And they have a lot more information now too,
with the internet. Yes,
with
of course.
Which is
everything.
Yeah, right. It's different, and that goes right down to the physician level when they're being rated, and we all know hospitals are trying to feverishly get that information back to the physician so they can help manage their own brand, if you will. I was sitting in a session yesterday, and it was run by someone from a payer, essentially, called Oscar Health. And their strategy, I don't know if you were in on that or saw that, but their strategy is to essentially, they're competing within the ACA framework, and they're offering individual coverage to people who want to sign up for that, and it's mostly driven through an app that they have. So they really expect the patients to be interacting directly with the plan. They do it through a sort of a pre-formatted concierge service where you, as a patient, if you will, you're assigned to a team of 4 people, and every time you call, you're going to get one of those 4 people, right? So unlike calling a huge payer where you're just going to get transferred to customer service and kind of moved around, you're dealing with your own
personal touch.
They know you, right?
Personal touch.
And then the next ring, if you will, around their network is the doctors, the physicians that they employ, because they have their own telemedicine ring that they have. They kind of showed it that way on their graph. Where now if you need to talk to a doc, you can talk to one of their docs that they're paying on their payroll, and that person can work with you and get you their prescription and everything you need right there within their own sort of private network.
Right.
So very patient-centric, as you said.
Absolutely. And Oscar probably has an advantage because they're relatively new to the payer space. So they didn't have to reinvent themselves. They could have just started out
that way.
Exactly the way they envisioned it. So, as opposed to like hospitals that have been working the same way with fee-for-service for how many years and now have to reinvent themselves and figure out a new way to do it.
Now, clearly, their establishment, I think, was in 2012, and it was, they brought a lot of people in from outside of the healthcare space or more consumer-centric organizations to help bring that thinking into their product.
One other thing that I found was a common theme throughout the conference is the use of dashboards. And every organization, I think every company that is here is focused on the use of dashboards to track where they are and the status of any account. Mm-hmm. So you can see what your staff is doing, how many accounts they work, even how many claims that you have holding in AR, where before it was a report that you would print out.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to go line by line on that report, looking up each account in your patient accounting system. Now it's just a click and everything's on your dashboard.
Sure.
You know, I don't like how these numbers are looking today. Let me double click on this bar. And it takes you directly to all of that information. I mean, it's so much more efficient now.
Mm-hmm.
That, like you said, how the revenue cycle has just transformed. It's efficiency. We have to get this money into the door a lot quicker. So we can't wait on an individual to work a report or get a claim out. It's like we need to know today what happened yesterday. We can't wait 3 months down the road.
That's right. That's right. Do you sense among folks that you've talked to that they're sort of looking at this transformative period that we're in as an opportunity? Are they frustrated with some of the adversity that we're facing?
I think a couple individuals that I had conversations with, they're not for sure what to do. They're not for sure should they go ahead and be innovative and start with a new product or a new process, like what you said, or should they just wait and see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to how when we implemented ICD-10 a couple years ago, how there was all of these years of preparation for ICD-10 and
Right. Hospitals
were bringing in new employees or new processes, and it was a lot of getting ready. And then when it finally got down to us, it was like, oh, okay, it wasn't as bad as what we thought it was going to be. And I think that's the fear, too, is that we don't want to jump the gun and think it's just going to be really, really bad when we get to these payment models or the value-based payment system. So it's kind of that in-between, not really for sure what to do.
Right. And I think it's a little both, right? So there is obviously a lot of opportunity for all of us to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also frustration because we know what the future looks like. We know that we have to go towards, value. However, the majority of the revenue that's coming in now is still tied to fee for service.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go in that direction, but
mm-hmm.
this is still what's paying your bills,
mm-hmm.
you know, today. So that's a little frustrating. But, you know, some of the folks that we talk to have said, especially those that are involved in CJR, for example, and that payment model, because it's two-sided risk, the fact that they're having to do this, even though it's frustrating and they may not know exactly how it's going to end, they feel that once they get through this, future, if CMS, for example, adds other procedures to the mix, they'll be prepared because they've already, you know, once you go through it the first time,
mm-hmm.
then it's easier to just add other procedures to it.
That makes sense. Christy and Maria, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule here at ANI. I appreciate that, and I know our audience appreciates your insights as always, and have a great rest of the show.
All right. Thank you.
If you enjoy the Hospital Finance Podcast, please head up to iTunes to subscribe and leave us a positive review.
This concludes today's episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. For show notes and additional resources to help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital, visit Bessler.com/podcasts. The Hospital Finance Podcast is a production of Bessler Consulting.